Thank you for joining us for this chapel message from the campus of Columbia International University in Columbia, South Carolina. Our mission at CIU is to educate people from a biblical worldview to impact the nations with the message of Christ.
This morning, I'm pleased to introduce our commencement speaker. Reverend Mike Holbrook is currently the General Superintendent of the Churches of Christ and Christian Union, which is a victorious Christian living organization that has several hundred churches. Mr. Holbrook was elected the new General Superintendent, and it's our privilege this morning to introduce him to speak for us.
I just want to give greetings today. The hospitality's been perfect. It's been wonderful. We have some friends here. My wife is here. Stand, Charlotte, very quickly. We see you. And just so good to be here with you today with other friends as well. But appreciate this opportunity. I was telling some of the folks here that probably a little brave in having me here as well, but thank you for that, and what an honor to come and speak with you. I do want to give greetings today to Chancellor Jones, to President Smith, the faculty and staff, and the graduating class of December 2019. Thank you for this honor, and what a privilege to be able to share with you on this very, very special day. I would like to share a portion of one verse of Scripture. It's found in John 20:20. Jesus had been crucified. The disciples were fearful, and they went to a closed room. The door was shut, and Jesus appeared to them. He showed to them his hand and his side. And the verse closes like this: "Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord." Probably one of the greatest understatements ever made. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. You have a unique opportunity that's afforded you, all of us. You're graduating in 2019, but you're moving into the year 2020. And I take verse 20:20 out of John as perfect vision. Do you not want to see God in 2020? We have that unique opportunity to go forward and to do something great for God. Allow him to do something great for you. My coming today is to speak to you about our heart toward becoming a Great Commission movement, a Great Commission Christian. And I'm not sure how old I was. I wasn't in school yet, but I was old enough to go downtown to the little town of Circleville. And that's when all the stores were down there. And rather than outside on like the malls and things of that nature, all the stores were downtown. And my mother went every Thursday to Circleville to shop. And while we were going down the street of Circleville, a hobo was coming toward us. A lot of railroad tracks in Circleville. And I never really seen one before. True. Real life hobo. And he had a stick and he had a red handkerchief wrapped with whatever hobos wrap in their handkerchiefs. And it just caught my attention, probably around 5 years old. And he walked by and there was a stench. And I looked to my mom and I said, "Mom, he stinks." And my mom looked at me and without scolding me, without letting me know that it was a lesson that I needed to learn, she said, "Yes, Mike, but he sure whistles well, doesn't he?" That was a lesson that I've never forgotten. When I was 10 years old, I was in children's church, and believe me, in children's church, I probably went to the altar every Sunday morning. Don't know what your religious background is or doctrinal stance, but I probably got saved every Sunday morning. The two ladies that taught us, my mother as well, would look at me and they called me Little Mikey. you're going to be our preacher boy. Mom would pray with me and say, Mike, open your heart. God wants to use you. You're going to be a little preacher boy. Well, all I cared about was basketball and baseball. I didn't really care about ministry at that time, but my mom nailed it that day. I've been in ministry 45 years, and God has truly been with me in the different ways of ministry that I've been a part of. But I've always had the goal to glorify God and to uplift our Savior and to fulfill His great commission. Matter of fact, my mother used those words, Mike, we've got to fulfill the great commission. The great commission is all about serving Jesus. It's all about having a heart for Him first and a heart to reach His creation wherever they might be. You have a reputation to do that. Continue to do so. Today you are graduating, and I encourage you today to be a Great Commission Christian. In my life, from 10 and on and on and on, I won't go into all of that, but there have been times I know I've been loved. As a Great Commission Christian, you're going to be loved. There's times I've been labeled because of my personality and because of who I am and maybe my size. I don't know, but there's labeling that may go on. Don't let those labels keep you from becoming a Great Commission Christian. I have been directed. I have been corrected. I have been misunderstood more than I'd like to say. I have succeeded in some places. That's for God's glory. But I want you to know I've also failed. There's times I have failed really big. But I want to encourage you today to not be afraid of failure. If we're going to be Great Commission Christians, there'll be times we'll fail. John Maxwell uses it this way. He says, fail forward. Don't let it get you to where you're always remembering it and you're always falling behind, but fail forward. Let it train you. Let it teach you. And my hope for you is that you'll understand you only live once. And we need to use our life passionately for God. Passionately follow His will. Don't be afraid to fail. There's an old IQ test, and you might want to form a box in your mind. And in that box, put 9 dots, 3 across and 3 down each way. 9 dots. The question is, or the goal is, to connect all 9 dots with 4 lines without raising your pencil. And it cannot be done unless you go outside the box to do it. Think outside the box. Dream big dreams. Allow God to give you those big dreams and follow Him. But the truth is, dreams without goals are just dreams. So set goals for your life every day. It's hard work. It's hard work, but hard work works. Just because you're doing a lot more does not mean you're getting a lot more done. I read this the other day. It says, a goal should scare you a little, but excite you a lot. Get excited. Allow God to use you. You have received an education that may put you in different places, but never forget your heart. Never forget that Jesus is the one that lives inside of your heart, and it's all about Him. It is all about Him. If we aspire to make a difference, God will be with us. God will use you, and God will uplift you as you uplift Him. I believe that the Great Commission Christian is one that reaches one that disciples one that fulfills the Great Commission for the glory of God, for the increase of the kingdom of God. Together, we can do more. I look at this graduating class and I'm thrilled to realize that we're not alone out there, that we have people that will go with us. And together, we can do more. And understand this, we only have one enemy. And I think that one enemy is what brings us together in a unifying force to build the kingdom. And that one enemy is Satan. See, that one enemy, it's not one another. It's not denominations. It's the enemy is Satan today. And if you have Jesus Christ in your heart, then that enemy can be thwarted. That enemy is already defeated. So remember, together we can do more. It will take heart. It will take heart to be a Great Commission Christian. We live in a techie world. How many of you have cell phones? How many use Facebook? How many tweet? I've never done tweeting yet. I maybe should. All kinds of tech things. We have a Ring doorbell that shows us who's at our door. It's unbelievable. But in this techie world, let's not be distracted. And let's have a heart for God. Amen? Just how techie we are, and hope this is appropriate, but we were driving yesterday, and my wife and I have a friend out of Tennessee. And he put on Facebook, and she was reading it to me, that you come into the house of a 4-bathroom home. There's 5 people in the house, and all the bathrooms are occupied. How do you hurry people up? You really got to go. How do you hurry them up? Turn the Wi-Fi off. Turn the Wi-Fi off. We live in a techie world. It's going to take love. It's going to take faith. It's going to take hope. But I believe in this world that we live in, it's going to take a lot of forgiveness. I'm so grateful for the giving grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in my life. I'm so grateful for the forgiving grace of people that are Christ-like and love the Lord. It's going to take a lot of forgiveness for us to reach a lost and dying world. I ask you today to be a Great Commission Christian, to love, to have faith, to have hope, and forgive. What does a Great Commission Christian look like? The only thing I can tell you, I have this I want to share. My mother taught children for 50 years. I had the privilege of pastoring that church for 18 years. And during that time, my father had a heart attack and triple bypass when he was 74. After we got him out of the hospital, my mother came to me and we were talking about evangelism, talking about the Great Commission in the church. And she looked at me and said, "Mike, I want to reach Betty, but I'm nervous. I'm scared about that." And I said, "Mom, you've taught children all your life. There are missionaries, there's preachers, there's, you know, all kinds of church workers that have come out of your teaching. Why would you be nervous about talking to Betty?" "Well, that's children. This is an adult." So we prayed about it, and my mom was a wonderful cook. We lost her a couple years ago. Wonderful cook. She would bake 5 pies just for 2 people. You know, that was mom. So we prayed about it, and I said, "Well, Mom, why don't you bake a pie, take it down to Betty, and maybe that'll open the door." So if Mom found out that Betty was home on Thursdays, that her husband, who was an alcoholic, abusive, was gone those days. She baked a pie. Two doors down was where Betty lived. Mom walked the road, knocked on the door at Betty's house, and Betty opened the door, and Mom had all this spiel and all this scripture she had learned and thought she was going to say it all and do it all. Betty opened the door, and it all went blank. She got cotton mouth, and she thrust the pie in Betty's face and said, "Betty, here, I baked you a pie. Hope you enjoy it." And she walked away. The second week, on Thursday, Mom baked another pie. She went down, knocked on the door. Betty opened it, and Mom, again, couldn't think of what she had studied and prayed about. And in our church, we always had people stand for our greeting time and say, "God loves you, and so do I." So she thrust the pie in Betty's face and said, "Betty, I love you, and God loves you too." And she left. The third week now, Mom baked another pie. We were getting upset because the pies weren't coming to us. But Mom baked that pie, went down. Betty saw her coming, opened the door. When Mom got up on her little porch, said, "Ellen, last week you said something I don't quite understand, You said, God, that you love me and so does God. Ellen, I knew you loved me, but I can't believe that God could love me. Would you come in and tell me about God's love? Mom went in around that healing table, shared her testimony and a witness. Betty found the Lord. Betty was a great cook too. They did our benevolence in our church, and I got a call after I became district superintendent. Betty asked me to come and speak to her husband. He had cancer and didn't have long to live. I'd spoke to him a number of times about the Lord, and he just wouldn't have anything to do with it. And I said, sure, I'll come. And I went into that bedroom where he was at that day, and I said, we've talked many times about this. Would you want to know Jesus Christ? I understand you don't have long to live. He said, oh, Mike, he says, I know Jesus as my personal Savior. And I said, tell me about it. He said, my wife, Betty, loved the Lord so much I couldn't help. As abusive I was, as alcoholic as I was, she loved me with God's love. God loved me. I was in Buffalo Wild Wings in Circleville. And while I was there, her son came in, who was following the footsteps, when I remembered him, of his dad. Had spent time in jail because of being abusive to his own wife. And he came in and saw me, paint all over him. He walked up to me and he kind of gave me a hug. I got up to greet him and he said, Mike, guess what? Guess what? I said, what? He said, look, and he gave me a card. I always forget it. I've got it in my desk drawer so that when I open it up, I look at it. And I thank the Lord for his grace. I thank the Lord for his love. Because it says, handyman for Jesus. One woman with a Great Commission heart brought a family to know Jesus Christ and to serve him. Today, you have persevered. You have worked hard. You are graduating. Congratulations. Congratulations, class of December 2019. But now I want you to do this. As you go, I want you to believe in yourself. I want you to push your limits. I want you to experience life. Conquer your goals. Now look at me, I want you to smile, because you've got this. God bless you.
We hope you found this message a blessing to your life. More Columbia International University Chapel messages are available at iTunes and at podcast.ciu.edu. Learn more about CIU's undergraduate, seminary, and graduate programs at our website, ciu.edu. Columbia International University educates people from a biblical worldview to impact the nations with the message of Christ. Thank you for the opportunity to minister to you today.